Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of I Could Talk Kayfabe. So that's what we do here. We talk kayfabe. Mm-hmm. I'm Joe.
I'm Sean.
And yeah, we're talking kayfabe today. We're going all the way back to 1982. December of 82, according to this issue. Yeah, 1982.
Yeah, this is really when kayfabe was kayfabe. That's why I was like kind of I'm excited to do this one, because there's, you know, this is like, you know, there's no like people, there's no shades of gray here.
Yeah,
you know, if they don't have to, but I guess we'll just kind of go through this one.
Yeah,
because there's not really, it's like one of those books where it's like, well, first of all, wrestling's main event, December 1982.
It's a monthly magazine. Uh-huh. Because back then, yeah, there was monthly magazines. A lot of them were seasonal, though, or quarterly, whereas this one's monthly, so that's good.
Well, Wrestling Main Events, yeah. Wrestling Eye, like all those. I mean, but these are like the 80s.
This is early 80s.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's it's... I have to say, this is another one of those George Napolitano.
Yeah. He's all over this magazine.
He's all over this magazine, and he usually... They always... The stock of these magazines is always a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the quality, you know, yeah, it's like quality is not nearly as good as polished as, you know, your wrestling, you know, your after mags, but this definitely has its merits.
Yeah. I liked how the pages were all glossy in, mm-hmm, this magazine, not the run of the mill, like newspaper style pages where you're washing your hands after reading the magazine. This, mm-hmm, one's nice glossy pages on every, but color photos are a little lacking in this one.
Yeah,
There's like, it says 6 pages of color. I don't know about that.
Do they count the cover?
I think they might count both covers and then the centerfold. Mm. So I think I counted maybe a couple pages.
Well, let's take a look at the cover here real quick. So on the cover you have Bob Backlund giving Ric Flair a full Nelson, because this is when they did one of those crossover matches.
Champion versus champion.
That's right.
Which, NWA versus WWF championships.
Yep.
And it was interesting because, like, those, like, once Vince Jr. took over, those just stopped happening. They didn't happen with
WWF. Oh, yeah, no, they, yeah, he yeah, didn't. But they only really, I feel like these only really happened when Backlund was champion, though. Because, you know, because they did when he had one against Harley Race.
Mm-hmm.
And
Nick Bockwinkel.
And Bockwinkel.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that being a big deal. And, that, you know, and then, you know, then, you know, like, AWA and NWA would wrestle each other.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't remember. And I'm certain that maybe Superstar Graham was involved. But, like, yeah, Hogan never had to do anything with these.
No, definitely not.
Bruno.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think maybe Bruno might have had a match. But the thing about those matches, were fans just not that smart back then? Because none of those matches ever ended in a finish.
No.
They're always draws.
They're always draws or double DQs, yeah, or countouts or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, if I'm a fan back in 1982 and I'm watching TBS and Gordon Solie's hyping this match, I'm thinking to myself, it's going to end in like a no contest, because that's just how those matches ended.
Back. Right, but I mean, but definitely since this is 1982,
yeah,
kayfabe rule supreme.
It sure did, but I think like I would have been smart enough to catch on.
I don't know.
1982, neither one of us were watching wrestling at this point in our lives. We were barely able to speak and talk, but yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. This is one of those things where I go back and I wish I was 10 years older than I actually am, because I would have enjoyed this as like a 12-year-old kid. I really would have enjoyed watching. Well, I don't know if that match was televised.
I don't know how you would watch it.
Yeah. You'd have to be there, really.
I don't even know if this is on video.
No.
I don't even know if it's on tape.
Probably not.
No, it's probably not. No.
Yeah.
But so on the cover, you got that. And then you have Caged Bloodbath, Superfly defeated. And you got a picture of Superfly looking all bloody. A little inset picture there, and also Fabulous Freebirds, the legend lives on.
Which is, I want to point that out there too, where they're like, the legend lives on. So it's 1982, and the Freebirds are already legends by 1982, apparently, according to this magazine.
Well, I think at this point they've already been around for like 2 years.
Yeah, so they're legends.
But the thing about the Freebirds is that, like, you know, when they, you know, from the very get go, I feel like they were a big deal,
yeah,
you know, for like at least 2-3 years in the business. And I mean, and also you think the coverage of all the wrestling magazines that they have, I mean, you know, I mean, they revolutionized the business.
Yeah.
So it makes a lot of sense that they, you know, kind of have that moniker. I think it's a little bit too much.
Yeah, I think at this point, yeah. I think if it was like 1985, you could say, yeah, the legend lives on. But 1982, that's awfully early.
It is. Yeah. But, you know, but I can just say, I'll allow it.
Okay.
I'll allow it.
And then we've got Clash of the Titans. Mulligan versus Andre. Blackjack, yeah. Mulligan versus Andre the Giant. And there's a nice article about that we'll be talking about.
So, well, first of all, we got to talk about the inside cover. Video Games Band of the Year.
So, I guess Video Games was a magazine. Yeah, Video Games Magazine, I guess. I don't know if it was a magazine or not. It just says Video Games. Magazine. And it looks like a magazine. But it says Man of the Year, and they gave it to Pac-Man. Obviously, 1982... Pac-Man revolutionized video games. It made it where, like, it was cool for everybody to play. But this cover art that they have looks nothing like the Pac-Man that we've come to love. He's, like, white. He has eyeballs. He's eating Cheez-Its, it looks like.
he's eating the block cheese.
Yeah.
And then the ghosts look like they're really evil. Like, yeah. they couldn't really get the rights to get the images on there, but...
Yeah, I think whoever made this magazine, it's like a Japanese knockoff Pac-Man. I don't know what this is. It's not Pac-Man, I'll tell you that.
You should try to find one of these magazines, man. This might be worth nothing.
Yeah.
So real quick, so we have the table of contents. It's basically everything we talked about. Yeah. But the one thing I want to point out here, it says Caribbean Bloodbath, and it says, okay, so it's Caribbean Bloodbath heated barbed wire match.
Mm-hmm.
And I, for a second, I took it as they're describing the barbed wire.
Was heated.
But, I mean, it's not. It's just saying it was heated as in, like, you know, intense. But I was imagining the barbed wire being, like, heated, like somehow they also were like heated coils, like you have like on like a back, like a fur, like a furnace.
Yeah, you know what? That sounds like
that's extreme.
That sounds like a good match to pitch to Japan. I think they would do that over there.
There would just be dudes sticking the.
Well, what you would do is like you'd get like just something like put hot coals in them, light up the coals, and then put the barbed wire on top.
Yeah,
that would be a good way to keep them heated throughout the match.
Well, you could do it outside. You could do it like in the mountains.
Yeah,
you could do it in the winter.
I think it would go over in Japan. I don't see that happening here.
Yeah, I think it'd get over.
So then this photo is kind of funny. You have Andre the Giant looking at a past issue of a wrestling main event, and the magazine just looks so tiny in his hands.
It also looks like he could be naked.
It does look like he could be.
Because you don't really see his waist, and I think he's wearing shorts or jeans or something like that, but you kind of can maybe think that he might be naked.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, maybe you're, that's how you do it. You read this book naked.
It looks like he's reading one of those little golden children's books.
He's reading one of the DC Digests from yesteryear. Yeah.
Like in the magazine in his hands looks that small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we get some editorial, we get some letters. Very, very, very kayfabe letters, like, mm-hmm. Blackjack Mulligan shouldn't wear a glove. Bah.
Yeah. Why is he wearing the glove? He could conceal something in that.
And glove. Then, but the editor's like, yeah, well, the glove is like, okay.
And then somebody suggests that he should tag team up with his son, and, I guess Barry Windham might have been known as Blackjack Mulligan Jr. at some point. I didn't know that, but somebody said that they should team up, so okay.
Got somebody in here putting over Quick Draw McGraw.
Oh.
Saying, you know, he's my favorite wrestler, so yeah. But that, you know, he didn't have much longer after this.
Nice photo of Tommy Rich with his hands on his hips.
Yeah, nice robe.
Yeah, this is a very nice robe.
Very nice robe. And then we get some of the news. And just a lot of different random things about, you know, we're in the age of pre-Rick Martel AWA. So he's right now he's battling Nick Bockwinkel to the champ. Freebirds are happening.
Mm-hmm. You've got
Rick McGraw has left the WWF area. Where else did he go?
I don't know. I never heard of him after that.
Mm. Well, no, he came back, obviously, and Roddy Piper apparently killed him in that match.
Oh.
R.I.P.
I want to point out, like, if you read a little bit of this article, they hype up Tom Pritchard. Like,
Tom Pritchard's got a lot of play in this match. Yeah. Young Tom Pritchard.
Yeah, he's got a lot. They hype him up as the biggest rising superstar that you've.
Let me tell you, Tom Pritchard looks mighty. Very baby faced here.
He's kind of got like the feathered hair. from like the late 70s look going. He just looks like a teen heartthrob. It's really, he's got the jacket over his shoulder, and he just looks like this photo's taken out of Tiger Beat is what it looks like.
Because on the opposite page, you have a picture of
Orndorff,
who is just jacked as fuck.
Yeah.
You know, he looks awesome.
Yeah.
You know, that's the same. If I was 19, I mean, I'd want to be that. That's the kind of body I want. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
I'd gladly take that body and
chiseled in granite is what
chiseled and tanned.
Another picture of Tommy Rich over there.
Tommy Rich looking like he was confused.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, you're taking my picture. Oh, and then they took it.
And he's wearing what shirt's he wearing here? Is it saying something about improving? And it's got, I don't know what he's wearing. He looks confused.
Mm-hmm.
That's a haircut that went away. Tommy Rich.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that some hipsters really haven't brought that back. But yeah, there's a lot of territorial notes. You got Dino Bravo being the most popular man in Canada, and you got just got lots of stuff. Oh, you got this. Actually, you got a picture here of Jacques Rougeau.
Yeah.
Young Jacques Rougeau.
He's got a little mustache going on, and
it's always weird to not see him as full Rougeau,
mm-hmm.
You know, because it's just him, like, he's just starting out, and he's got this chain. He looks like, I'm trying to think, he looked like somebody I knew, or somebody I saw recently.
Oh, yeah, he's got, like, a gold chain around his neck.
I think he's Razor Ramon.
Like single gold chain, not, like, a lot of gold chains, like, with, like, Mr. T or anything.
Dude.
And he's got his socks pulled up outside of his boots, which is always a look I love to watch.
Yeah. I want to say here, the butchering of Larry Zbyszko's name.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Continued butchering, because there's another issue magazine we have, which we'll get to at some point, that really butchers it on a cover. But this one, for the first time, has a B in an A.
Yeah.
In Zbyszko.
Wow.
So Zbyszko and Bruno Sammartino Jr. Junior.
Oh, then he's not David Sammartino? He's Bruno
Not Jr. quite yet. Yeah, oh. Not quite yet. He'll get there.
Yeah.
But they're they're battling Joe LeDuc.
Oh, we got Joe LeDuc with Luke Williams and
Jonathan Boyd.
Yeah,
that version of the sheep herders, mm-hmm. Known as the Commonwealth Connection. Which that's a fucking manly photo, man. These are fucking awesome photos, and this is squad goals.
Yeah, and like LeDuc has like his forehead's bleeding, and they just look like pissed. Like him and Boyd have like the same look on their faces, just like I'm ready to kill you.
I'm not gonna lie,
their fist clenched.
I would go with the LeDuc LaPhysique too.
Oh yeah,
I'd take that one too.
I would go just as hairy. Like he's got hair on his shoulders, hair on his back, hair all over his chest. I'm all about that.
I would take both. I would go full Orndorff or full LeDuc. That's I'm not gonna lie.
And Luke's got his classic Luke of the Bushwhackers face. Going like, yeah.
Also, what?
Well, I was just gonna say, but more intimidating.
Yeah. But my favorite thing in this whole thing here is there's a little blurb here says high flying Carlos Colon is in contention for the World Wrestling Council heavyweight title in the Caribbean.
The title he owns
and won probably like 80 times.
Yeah.
But he's in contention.
He's in contention.
That's how old this magazine is, that Carlos Colon has yet to win this title.
Wow.
That's how old it is. And then we just get some, apparently, okay, this is something I want to see this. Dusty Rhodes, who was defeated by Magnificent Morocco in 49 seconds at the Omni recently, is now undergoing serious training with Kevin Sullivan in hopes of getting that champion back in championship form.
Wow.
So not only were you in this 1982, so we're pre-Devil. Apparently we're pre-Devil Sullivan, because why would they be hanging out?
Yeah.
Because this is what, April, I think I said?
December.
Oh, no, wait. We should.
But remember back then, the magazines, like, it was December, but it might have actually came out in, like, April.
Talking, so, yeah. Okay, but, so, okay, maybe we're not there yet.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so first of all, Dusty Rhodes losing and to anybody,
yeah.
Let alone in 49 seconds
at the Omni of all places.
Yeah. I am. I need to know more about that.
I do.
You're
too.
Burying the lead on this here wrestling main event.
I have reason to believe it didn't happen. They just threw that in the thing just to like.
No, I don't know. I'm gonna research this. I think this is a big wrestling mystery to me, because you can't just put that in there.
If you are listening to this podcast, please tweet at us at Sweatpants Joe and Angry Hero Sean.
Yeah.
If you know more about this incident, because this is pretty interesting to figure out.
Mm-hmm. And also want to know what kind of training he's been doing with Kevin Sullivan.
Probably. That kind, you know, what if
that's a video I want to see?
What if it was like one of those things where, like, you remember when Jake the Snake was training the Warrior on how to beat the Undertaker?
Oh man!
And then he turned on the Warrior. Maybe that could have been what Sullivan was doing. Then he turned like to Satan.
Oh man, Sullivan was probably like doing stuff like burying him and stuff like burying Dusty and sand. It's like, all right, now get up.
Yeah. But and I think this is a good way to, we'll take a break and then we're going to come back.
Let's take a break.
We're going to talk about the showdown in Atlanta between Ric Flair and Bob Backlund.
Hey, I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents. And we're very uninformed, so...
Oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
And we are back on I Could Talk Kayfabe. And we have turned the page and we are on the showdown in Atlanta. Pits Flair against Backlund with both titles at stake. And it's by our good friend George Neapolitano.
George Neapolitan ice cream.
Yeah.
And we got really dope photo of... Backlund picking up Flair in that one-arm scissors lift he usually does. That's one of Backlund's things he does. And he's got he looks like he's got his hand up like Flair's ass and Flair's. Yeah.
And look at the referee's haircut. It's that Tommy Rich style.
The Scrappy McGowan. Yeah, Scrappy McGowan with the Cindy Brady special.
The hipsters need to bring this haircut back.
Yeah, I know. How come nobody's bringing back the Tommy Rich?
Yeah.
But basically, it's just a rundown of the match. You know. And just kind of talking about, you know, stuff leading up to it, you know, in the kayfabe sense about how, you know, they, you know, wanted to see it happen. It's just somehow it got worked out. And I mean, it's just more of like, just like, who's better, this guy or that guy, you know? Mm-hmm. All right. You know, which is awesome. I mean, that's, you know, I would love to see that now. I mean, well, you can't see that now because, like, who, I mean.
You'd have to, it would just be like the Raw champ versus the SmackDown champ, really.
Or if you're doing, like, you know, interpromotional. Like, who's the champion? Was it Del Rio? No.
In TNA?
TNA, or is it Lashley?
I think it's Lashley. I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you.
But, like, Lashley, you know, you put a Lashley up against either, was it?
Goldberg?
Goldberg, or...
By this time, Goldberg won't be... By the time you listen to this, Goldberg probably won't be champion. I don't know. We'll see when this airs, but...
Yeah.
I can't imagine Goldberg's title reign being very long.
No.
The fact that he's even having a title reign makes me mad, but that's a whole other story. But
yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically that's it for the match. You get a bunch of pictures and a bunch of...
I love that picture of Backlund rolling Flair up and the look on his face. He's just like, he's just enjoying having his head on Flair's
ass. I feel
ass.
Like anytime you see a picture of Bob Backlund, he's always making that face. Like, mm-hmm. He just has very... He's never really like... angry. He's always kind of got like some sort of bemused expression in some way, because that's just how his face looks. So yeah, but ended in a double count out, because that's what you do in 1982 when you have a match between the WWF and the NWA. So okay, so here's the Caribbean Bloodbath with the heated wires.
And I'm looking at the barbed wires now. They just, it's the style where they put them like with the ring ropes.
Yeah,
which is my preferred way of doing a barbed wire match. Some people like to take the ropes off and then put the wire around the ring. I prefer it with the ropes.
I don't think I've ever really seen it like this.
Oh, I've seen plenty like that, yeah.
It makes sense, though, because it's actually a lot less work on the crew's part.
Yeah, yeah. I prefer it that way, because then you could still run the ropes, and you got the barbed wire there, but you got to just be careful.
But you're just yanking on the barbed wire, and we get some, so it's between... Carlos Colon and Pierre Martel.
Is that Rick's brother?
I think it is. Or
his older brother, I think.
It's,
was he the one who teamed up with Frenchie Martin?
Maybe.
And then
I to be honest, I don't. I can't.
Yeah,
remember.
I don't know the whole Martel.
Wasn't there a Martel that passed away? Was that what was that?
I
Pierre?
Think that's him, Pierre, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was him.
And and then we get they're up against Black Gordman and Cyclone Negro.
Oh.
That's we're just old timey like old time Latin wrestlers yeah. from like the you know. California and Texas and stuff like that. Like there were people like who like you would read old like wrestling stories and you'd see their names but you didn't here's the thing, it's like you never see any pictures of them.
Yeah,
that's one of those things where that you just hear their name but they never show you a picture. Yeah. And I know that, you know, I can easily look this up now.
Yeah,
but
I'm assuming Cyclone Negro is a guy who wore a black mask. No. But I could be wrong. He could have worn.
No,
a
he
wasn't.
No, he's right here. That's him right there. He's just.
There's no mask.
He's on no mask. He's got because no mask. I know who Black Gordman is because uh-huh. I remember the wrestler, the 25th anniversary issue. They had like the top 25 tag teams, and like Black Gordman and I'm blanking on the other guy were like one of the top 25 tag teams, and because they were so you know, they were so they were a really big deal in like California back in like the 70s,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, he's apparently in. You know, Puerto Rico here. But I do like just reading over this article. It's basically, it's just a lot of, you know, like, oh, and this is going to get really nasty. And, you know, they needed to do this because these two people hate each other. And, you know, it was sanctioned, but then it was, and then we declared it illegal. And then I also like how before the matches, Carlos Colon and Pierre Martel got together and had a strategy session,
mm-hmm.
which, what would your strategy be in a barbed wire match? Other than don't touch the barbed wire.
Yeah, don't touch the barbed wire and throw my opponent into the barbed wire. I think that'd be my strategy.
Like, don't jump ever because you might fall into the barbed wire.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just a bunch of, you know, and then it's just a bunch of like, you know, just like a little bit of a blow by blow, which you can just imagine it just being bloody and, you know, just it's just a mess. And you get a lot of great pictures, which, you know, Carlos Colon bleeding. You know, mm-hmm. that's a shock.
Everybody's bleeding. Yeah.
You know, you got Pierre Martel. You know what I mean? It just looks like, I don't know. It just looks, it looks awesome.
Like, this guy's face is just like, is that Pierre Martel?
No, that's Black Gordman.
Oh, okay. His like, just in fear, it looks like. But it's not. He's just, it's an action shot.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
He's missing a punch.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like it's being ducked.
He's Carlos Colon is ducking a punch.
Yeah,
and you got Pierre Martel, who looks like Eric Embry here, is just slashing away.
Carlos Colon looks like Billy Dee Williams in this photo.
He does, yeah,
like
actually.
A bloody Billy Dee Williams.
He does, because he got his mustache in this one. He does look like Billy Dee Williams. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Spotlight on Brad Armstrong when he was just a spry rookie.
Yeah, following in his father's footsteps. Another article by George Neapolitan Ice Cream.
Neapolitan Ice Cream, yeah, talking about George. Got a really overexposed photo of Brad Armstrong here. Yeah, not much to say about this.
What's going on in this photo here?
This is actually something I was confused about because I'm like, so you got Brad Armstrong doing an interview segment with Gordon Solie, and he's also hanging out with Kevin Sullivan.
Yeah, and like it almost looks like I thought they were arm wrestling at first glance, but no, they're just like leaning over the table, just like talking to Gordon Solie.
Yeah, that's like I'm like I Kevin Sullivan. This is I mean I know he probably was in Georgia at some point, obviously he was,
mm-hmm.
but like. It's just weird seeing Kevin Sullivan not as Satan.
Yeah.
You know, when he's like in his early like career and he's like super muscular and he, you know, he has a headband. He's kind of like a hippie weightlifter.
I forgot how muscular Kevin Sullivan was in the 80s. Yeah, he was pretty jacked.
In the early 80s. And
he would be the guy I would go to train if I lost to Don Morocco in 49 seconds. So yeah, Kevin Sullivan.
He had the best, like his thing about him, it's like he's one of those guys who was, he's always been built like super stocky,
mm-hmm.
so like when he would do the double stomp, it made sense because his legs were gigantic. So yeah, so I mean, it makes sense, you know, considering he's a body, you know, he's a bodybuilder and he's just working out. But it's just weird to see these two folks together.
If I was starting a wrestling promotion today and I had unlimited funds, Kevin Sullivan and Jim Cornette would be the two guys I would have like booking the whole show. Like, I would just let them do their thing. I would stay out of the way and just enjoy the product.
Yeah, just do your thing.
Yeah.
Let's see here. R.I.P. Chief Maivia.
Peter Maivia died, and they showed a match with him and Superstar Billy Graham. Yeah, because then Peter Maivia entered the WWF. He wrestled him for the title. He challenged him, I should say, and ended up losing.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Peter Maivia, when he first came in, he was brought along by Bruno Sammartino. They were, showing him the ropes, and then he, turned on Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah, he went heel at some point.
Yeah.
He had a whole thing going on.
I think he joined up with Fred Blassie, I think it was Fred Blassie, not the Grand Wizard.
Maybe that was their Wizard.
I feel like the Wizard
would have made more sense.
Yeah. But,
not that Fred Blassie wasn't there, but, yeah. But, we got an article, the Freebirds, Legend Lives On. And basically, it's kind of like a little history of the Freebirds.
Mm-hmm. You got color photos.
Yeah, here are the color photos. You got
they're holding belts.
National Tag Team Champs. So yeah. It's in Georgia, right?
Probably Georgia. Yeah, probably Georgia.
Yeah.
So that makes sense that would be like the Georgia state flag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we get some background on the Big Freebirds and about basically, it's kind of like.
I don't see any Buddy Roberts in these.
Well, because it basically at this time, Buddy Roberts, he got brought in early.
Mm-hmm.
He's early on, and then he left. And then, a lot of it's about how Michael Hayes is kind of have to wrestle into himself, and then occasionally he'd get in some trouble, and then Terry Gordy would show up, and then one of the other would leave. But now maybe they're back together, and they're trying to find another. So it's kind of a confusing, this is like when the Freebirds weren't always together. Like, it's weird. Oh, okay. That's something that actually was a thing.
They'd break up and get back together.
I think at one point, Terry and Michael feuded.
Oh.
Yeah, there was a brief feud in, Georgia and stuff like that because, he would, because Michael Hayes teamed with Otis Sistrunk. Terry Gordy would team with Snuka. Uh-huh. Back then. And so there was, this is kind of like in that phase.
So. Okay, so they must have just gotten back together a little while ago, and then that's why the legend continues.
And eventually they end up in Dallas.
Yeah.
And then eventually they do the run with WWF later in '83.
See, the Freebirds, Dallas, that's what I think of when I think of Freebirds, like the Sportatorium feuding with the Von Erichs.
I think we're not quite there yet.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
This magazine isn't quite there.
No. So I didn't realize there was a Freebirds prior to that, is what I'm saying.
Oh, really? No, yeah. Freebirds have been around since it started 1980 because they were around when Junkyard they blinded Junkyard Dog.
Oh, look that at
was
that.
The whole thing. Is that
I'm gonna have to get that Freebirds DVD?
Yeah, yeah. Wait, is there one?
I don't know
because there's that one where it's like the world. I don't know. Class, I feel like there's definitely got to be something about the Freebirds history, but you should definitely because the Freebirds they started out and they got together. It was just Gordy and Hayes. And then they put
Buddy
with them.
Yeah.
And they fucked around in Georgia. And eventually, in the early 8 in the 82, they must not have gotten there yet, but they must not have gotten to World Class yet. Because I don't really feel it's mentioned in here that much.
I don't think so.
So, yeah. But they pretty much were just based in Atlanta and... Yeah, so.
So they were already legends before they became legends, in my eyes.
Yeah.
So that's
interesting. Well, pretty much once they did everything with the Junkyard Dog and all that, and he blinded him so he couldn't see the birth of his daughter and all that stuff. Yeah, that's the stuff a lot of people, they were at all these different places, before that, and then once I was really cognizant of wrestling, they were pretty much... kind of disbanded.
Yeah.
And then they got back together, but it was just Jimmy, Jimmy Garvin was there.
Yeah, Jimmy Garvin took Buddy Roberts' place. And
yeah.
Did they kick him? I don't really remember exactly how it went.
They didn't really kick. I don't feel enough they really kicked anybody out. It was just kind of one of those things where Terry Gordy and Buddy Roberts, they would just be like, well, I'm going to go work somewhere else.
Yeah.
And they would just, they would just go somewhere else, but... Buddy was already, pretty old, so he didn't have to work as much. And Terry would just end up in Japan a lot. So, Michael would always be in, NWA, and he'd be in World Class, and he'd be back in NWA. So, yeah.
So we got Clash of the Titans, Mulligan versus Andre. And we have a nice two-page photo of Mulligan, and he's got, Andre in the dreaded, nerve pinch. And Andre's on the mat, in pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is pretty badass.
He must have had 60 beers before the match.
Hey, boss.
Yeah.
Anybody want a peanut?
And the referee's checking on Andre to see if he quits.
Blackjack was badass too. I feel like I have never really seen enough of him wrestling like prior to like 82, 83, 84. You know, because I've seen him in Georgia, but that like, you know, by that time it's kind of like, you know, he's supposed
to be a big deal. I really like prior to like 83, I really don't know much about wrestling, so I have to rely on these magazines to tell me how great Blackjack Mulligan was, and that the Freebirds were a thing before Dallas.
I'm surprised you didn't know that.
I really didn't know.
I'm surprised you didn't really weren't that into it. But
yeah,
we just get a bunch of good good shots here, and a bunch of basically talking about how the Claw, you know, managed to rip open Andre's head, which that's always for some reason I always find that awesome that you could take a somebody's hand could squeeze your forehead so hard that it will rip open your skin and your forehead and draw blood.
Yeah, it's almost like you were like already cut there.
Yeah,
before.
But it's just it's fascinating to see that being a thing where it just because that's how they would promote it with like Raschke.
Yeah,
all those guys.
Yeah,
remember Raschke's still alive, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
As far as I know,
the match of the month, Backlund.
Yeah.
Backlund cages the Superfly in a bloody bout.
So we got two Bob Backlund matches in this magazine.
I don't know.
Yeah, two big match, but this one's huge. I mean, you got Backlund Snuka in the cage.
This is the one where he Snuka jumped off the cage.
Yeah,
and missed.
Yeah, because Backlund rolled out of the way.
Right.
Yeah.
This isn't the one that inspired Mick Foley. Just as a
no, by then Snuka was a face in feuding with Don Morocco.
Yeah, because he was there for the Morocco match.
But this is Snuka was full blown heel, but the fans were starting to get behind him, and so eventually he would turn face.
Look at the turnbuckles; they were sponsored by Everlast.
Wow,
or they're just Everlast turnbuckles. They probably just use those.
Yeah,
that would never happen today.
Never in a million years.
Remember when it was like the maybe it should. I mean, why is that not a thing?
Because they have WWE logos on the turnbuckle.
Well, why not if they could, you know, be like Prime Real Estate? They want somebody to, you know, granted, nobody wants to sponsor wrestling these days, so who are you going
to
have? Like,
you're right, that would be Prime Real Estate to just throw some sponsors in the ring.
Like the NWA used to do with the Ruse.
The one Mexican promotion does it. They've got, like, sponsors all over their apron. Not the one that I have on the TV right now, this Lucha Azteca that I have on mute.
Still on?
Yeah, it's still all those. These things are like 3 hours long.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're always long, and there's always like three matches. Best two out of three falls each match, and 3 hours long. That's all it is.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because if they WWE did it now, they would be like,
it'd be like Tap Out.
Yeah, Tap Out.
It'd be like their brands they're trying to promote. Yeah.
Let me get some Chiefs Jay Strongbow and Juice Drill Strongbow. I can care less about these dudes.
So can I, and I think so could people. Like back then, didn't even really care
about. But it felt like it was like, oh, we gotta talk about them.
It's
like,
let me just say this about Jay Strongbow. He was a poor man's Wahoo McDaniel. That's what he was.
100%.
Yeah, yes. Like he was. Like they just didn't want to pay for Wahoo McDaniel to wrestle North, so they like made Jay Strongbow the man, and Jules was his brother. And I've actually seen Jules at a Legends show.
What, recently?
No, we're like 1999.
Oh, okay.
But he was like old as fuck in 1999.
He was still wrestling.
He wrestled on that show. Yes. Yeah, he. I don't remember if he was in a tag match or if he wrestled on.
You're talking to somebody that went to go see Ivan Koloff, and he was fighting somebody that Dominic DiNucci in a chain match in 2006.
Oh wow,
that was rough.
Yeah, that Legends card I went to was the Iron Sheik wrestled, Nikolai Volkoff wrestled, King Kong Bundy wrestled. The Bushwhackers were on it.
Oh, wait. Was that one of the ones in Lockport?
It wasn't in Lockport, but it was in Amherst. It was like an ice rink that they covered up the rink for the...
How is it that 1999 Sean did not realize that these things took place?
Yeah, it was like... It was like a traveling promotion, too. It was like the Heroes of Wrestling traveling promotion.
Ugh.
And I remember the Kodiak Bear was on the card, and my buddy asked him, hey... What's your name? He's like, the Kodiak Bear. And my buddy's like, are you a jabroni? And he's like, I'm not a jabroni. And he yelled at him. And then, like, he ended up jobbing to, like, somebody, like, you would think he'd be able to beat. And I was like, oh, he is a jabroni.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then, like, later on, I found out that, like, he wrestled in ECW and he was, like...
The Kodiak Bear.
Yeah.
So now we get some candid pictures.
This... I loved this article. So you have, out of the ring, you've got Tom Pritchard again. Baby, full-blown baby-faced Tom Pritchard sitting by the pool.
Looking like Josh Groban. That's what I was trying to figure out. It's like Josh Groban, or he looks like a very, like, he is so young. It's just so weird seeing, like, this very, like, young Tom Pritchard. Not that Tom Pritchard. Tom Pritchard actually still doesn't look bad now.
No, he's older, but he never, as far as I remember, like, watching Tom Pritchard look like this.
He never looked this clean cut.
This clean cut, this baby face.
Because he always had, like, really, like, wet curly hair, and he's always pretending like he was Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
You know? So, he was awesome, though.
Yeah, he was great.
I liked him, even though I never got to watch him wrestle.
Yeah.
Because anytime in my heyday of reading wrestling magazines in the early 90s, he was all over the USWA with Eric Embry. Mm-hmm. So that's all you would hear about is, like, he had the Texas title and they would be fighting, blah, blah, blah. And I would just be like, man, who are these guys? But who is this guy? But he's awesome. He's all, I mean, and he's all, you know, he was in Continental. I mean, he's, and of course, I mean, he had a lot to do with the WWF in the, you know, in the 90s.
What's great about this article here with Tom Pritchard by the pool with who is that?
Les Thornton.
And then underneath it, you see a picture of Luke Williams, and he's got like this 80s boombox next to him.
That is an 80s boombox.
It's so great. But like you read the article, and it talks about how these wrestlers live in the same condo complexes together. Like there's a couple different complexes they show, and they all like live in the same complex. And I've just... To me, that's just the coolest thing ever.
I think I want to believe that this is the wrestler complex. Like, yeah. There was that issue. There was that show called The Hollywood Complex on the CW. This is the wrestling complex.
Yeah.
The wrestler complex, and they all live here together. And you have, Vivian St. John, who I'm not familiar with.
I'm not familiar with. She's wearing a bikini that leads nothing to the imagination.
Yeah, it's barely.
And you wish it did, because her body is not... She shouldn't be wearing
that. Here's the problem. It's not her body.
Yeah.
It's... The way that she's standing.
Yeah, that could be it too.
That's
yeah.
the way, because I know about this. I'm like, this is like, I'm sure she's, you know, if it was any other pose, but she's doing the Captain Morgan.
The Captain Morgan, and yeah, it's, and she's got like a muscular body. It's not really like soft body. So yeah, it just doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good for the pose she's doing. And yeah. So we get, you know, she shows up a little bit later. She's actually looks better here where she's being, where Joe DeLuke is throwing an inflatable raft at her.
Yeah.
And then we get...
Paul Orndorff diving into the pool.
Yeah.
And then you see him, Paul Orndorff, standing on the diving board, flexing his muscle, pointing at his erection in a color photo.
He's a color photo, and he's wearing Hulk Hogan's cross necklace.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but the wrestlers be having fun, and then we actually wrap on a story about Bob Orton Jr.
He's too tough to be beaten by anybody.
Bob Orton was awesome.
He was pretty badass.
He's one of those guys where it's like I feel like I don't have enough. I've never seen enough matches of him because you always know how good he is.
Yeah,
and maybe I just don't see the right matches, He's awesome.
There's this beautiful color photo of him with a standing side headlock, and it looks like Pedro Morales.
Yeah, it's Pedro Morales, yeah.
And then they have little photos of him with his tag partner where he won the championship. Who is that?
Bob Roop.
Bob Roop?
Yeah.
Is that Bob Roop?
Yeah, it's Bob Roop. That's an old photo. That's
And then you have him with the Grand Wizard.
He's got that Weird Al hair.
Yeah.
I also like this photo of him. He has... somebody in he's holding them like a backbreaker, but he's about to like throw them on like of the barricade, but the barricade is like one of those like roadblocks.
Yeah, it's like a roadblock.
That does not look like it's going to be good for anybody. Like it's whoever he's doing that to is going to be very mad at him afterward. He's gonna be like, "What the fuck, man? Why'd you put me like that?"
And then in the photo above it, Mike Graham's got him in an armbar.
Yeah,
yeah.
R.I.P. Mike Graham. Yeah, so basically it's just a bunch of like, yeah, he's really good, and, you know, he has all these awesome maneuvers, and, you know, he's underrated.
Typical kayfabe article about a wrestler at this era. And then at the end we have half a page, because the other one was cut off, of just questions and answers, and we have Jesse Ventura with somebody... In the ring.
Well, they have somebody just for terror. Wrestling in a ring where it looks like there's like nobody in the audience.
Nobody in the audience, in a very low ceiling. So it looks like a bingo hall, like Don Pulse.
That's so weird, because there's a few other photos like this in here. And it's just sometimes you see those and you're like, Is that how wrestling used to be when, like, it seems weird not seeing, like, a WWF photo and not have it be, like, in, like, Madison Square Garden or something, or just with a huge audience in it? Because it looks like they're literally wrestling in, like, you know, like a kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, it's something like that. It just looks, you know, it looks odd.
Yeah.
A few questions and answers. I wish I had more of these. I wanted to know what other questions were asked here.
Yeah.
Question number one, where is the great Hossein Arab, a.k.a. Iron Sheik, wrestling right now? And he currently is wrestling in Georgia.
Oh.
All right. See, so somebody needs to know. Mm. And then also, is there a chance that Blackjack Mulligan will team up with his son, Blackjack Mulligan Jr., in the near future? And they're like, not right now, but maybe. And then I don't know the rest of it because it ends. Yeah. So.
Because on the back, there's a special offer to order a hat.
Somebody bought that hat.
And somebody bought that hat because the order form is gone. And that's too bad because we would have liked to read the other questions.
You know what the fuck?
But yeah, so that is wrestling's main event, December 1982, featuring Bob Backlund and Ric Flair on the cover, facing each other.
I want to see if I can find more of these, and I want to kind of read the progression because the articles aren't that good, but there's enough. It's something about it, like the simplicity of it, I kind of enjoy, and I kind of want to, you know, like it's not like there's not a lot. Consider about like the after mags. There's also a lot of like editorial articles and like different things and that they really try to push, and I mean I get that and like that makes sense and there's, you know, a lot of fun to be had with those, but I just kind of like it because they also, you know, they don't always focus on the big wrestlers, you know, like sometimes you'll have like a big article about Puerto Rico wrestling because fuck yeah, Puerto Rico wrestling, you know, as far as I remember was awesome, you know, back in the 80s. And I want to know more about it because it was weird. You know, it's something that's like, I don't live in Puerto Rico. I don't have, you know, I mean, there's limited access to those videos.
Yeah, there really is. Like, that's a thing. Like, there's no Puerto Rico videos on the network, which kind of mind-boggling if you think about it, because there's always been a long relationship between Vince and Puerto Rico. They've always sent guys over there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Colon's son and nephew wrestle for Vince.
Well, Colon's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and Colon's in the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, you'd figure.
I don't know if he's the one that owns it, though, maybe. Yeah, maybe somebody else owns it. Because it's kind of like, you know, one of those things like the USWA and the Global. And
you got to figure Colon's got access to the guy who owns it, though. Like, who could possibly own it? Or if there's any footage really available.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was this is this week's episode of I Could Talk Kayfabe. Follow us on our social media. I'm at Sweatpants Joe on everything. So, Twitter, Instagram, and yeah.
And I'm on Angry Hero Sean on Instagram and Twitter. And you can also what?
Oh, I was gonna say you can subscribe to us on iTunes, rate us 5 stars. We appreciate that.
Any
feedback you could give us.
Yeah, please rate and review. Tell a friend if
tell
you dig
a friend,
it.
Tell 2 friends.
Tell 3 friends. And also, I have another podcast called Worst Collection Ever, I do with my wife, Jen, talking about comic books. You can find that on iTunes as well. So, thanks for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you again next time.